the great Kahan Kananya Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. You're enjoying the cooler weather Yahweh's been blessing us with? Praise Yahweh. It's nice to get out of the triple digits, although Pastor did forewarn us that it would get hotter, and it surely did. And it's going to get even hotter as these prophecies come to pass, as mankind is building to a point where he's getting ready to destroy all life on the face of this earth. I'm going to try to do my very level best today to keep from my lips from running a million miles a second so I can actually cover the points that I've written down. But first, I'd like to start in page one of the prophetic word. I hope everybody's had an opportunity to get the prophetic word issue, the latest one, 9:10. And go through it, because Pastor does really encourage us to study, and he emphasizes study what's in this prophetic word until you understand the message from this article. And I'm just going to read this first line here, paragraph, actually column and a half, on page one of the prophetic word. He says, "So you don't believe Yahweh's inspired prophecies. Read this and you will." Pastor says, "My dear friends, Yahweh makes the claim that he inspires each of seven prophesied works and that he inspired the holy men, prophets of old, to explain for us Yahweh's plan for these seven works and salvation. The prophets of old gave us the details of the process that he would allow the world to go through in order to bring about his planned seven prophesied works to build himself a family, or a Yahweh family." And then notice here, it's something that Yahweh is allowing this world to go through. It's not Yahweh inflicting these great disasters and these curses as the world cries out, "Why would the Lord allow these so many innocent children to be murdered and abused and so many people to starve and to suffer?" It's not the Lord is doing it, because the Lord is bringing it about, but Yahweh is not. He's allowing mankind. Remember what he said all the way back in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 10, 11. It's chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11. And Yahweh said that indeed the people, verse 6, are one and they have all one language. This is what they begin to do. After this, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. So Yahweh was going to allow mankind to go their own way, completing out this phase of this 6,000-year plan that Yahweh, you know, put in action from the very beginning to allow this tree of mixture and righteous and evil to go along for a certain period of time and see what the end results of that would bring, and to prove to mankind and to the universe, the Malachim, remember, heaven and earth are witness to these things, of what sin will bring, as well as the building up of a kingdom that is going to become this Yahweh family, who are going to live strictly by the laws of Yahweh. As Pastor emphasized last week, it's strict, the strictest of obedience that each and every one of us has to have within our life. We have to determine in our minds beforehand, because remember what we all came here with, what we all were born with, the carnal mind. And the scripture shows us that the carnal mind is at enmity. It's bitterly opposed to Yahweh. It's bitterly opposed to the laws of Yahweh. It's bitterly opposed to the things that are right and beneficial for us. And it tries to separate us from Yahweh, and Satan plays on the carnal mind because she knows the weakness of mankind. Well, Yahweh says that we can overcome the carnal mind with the laws of Yahweh, with Spirit Holy, that as we accept the knowledge that Yahweh gives us, we accept the calling that Yahweh has given us, and then we start to build and remember what Pastor brought out in the X-rated series about superimposing, the superimposition of righteousness being laid layer upon layer upon layer in your heart and your mind, and eventually you get to the point where it overshadows you, like it did when he was speaking of Miriam, Yeshua's mother, and other prophets and women and men, prophetess and so forth, who came to this point where Spirit Holy overshadowed them. Well, this is something that we have to consistently do, and what that will do is that will push out the carnal mind. Like the Peaceful Solution says, you know, accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Well, you need to read and study. We have to read and study the positive that comes from the laws of Yahweh so that we can know to be able to distinguish between the positive and negative so we can get the negative out of our lives. And this is the great wisdom that Yahweh gives his people that you just don't see in the world. You just don't see any resources for mankind to escape from the rut that they've gotten themselves into right now. The house of Yahweh is the only thing that's going to be able to pull them out of that rut and get them back on the road to righteousness, to salvation. Praise Yahweh. So just keep that in mind, because we all play a part in this. It's not just any one person. As Pastor has said, you know, every work builds to the next, and it's like the peaceful solution. You know, one lesson builds upon the next lesson. So, you know, as these things go in order, and as Yahweh has his plans, he didn't go, you know, I'm going to do the third work here, and then I'm going to do the first work here, and somewhere down the line, I'll depend on how it works, how I'm feeling that day, I'm going to go ahead and throw the sixth and seventh work in somewhere. No, everything is according to the plan. It's according to the pattern. It's laid out specifically. Yahweh just doesn't go out on a whim. You know, he has everything well laid out and planned, as Pastor brought out to us about that sea of glass. And I had some pictures showing some of the, on one of the trips we went through, there was one of those, I think they call it like the war room. I think that's what they call them, if they call that in the Pentagon. But some of these areas, they call them the war room, and that's what they have in there. This big table, you know, it might be like a little bit bigger than the pool table, and it's got the glass, and now they're made now where, you know, it's electronics, and I'm sure that they can touch them and do this and do that with them. But they have the plans laid out of what they're getting ready to do if they're going to invade a country or take over a nation and so forth, and they lay these things out so everybody knows what to do and how to go about carrying out their part. Well, Yahweh does this in bringing forth his family here as well. Yahweh's family will then be forever trusted to do the righteous will of Yahweh, teaching Yahweh's righteousness to all the earth and to the universe. And all of this, including Yahweh's perfect law of righteousness, are shown by Yahweh's inspired prophets to bring peace, joy, and love to all. And then Pastor says on the last part of that, he says, don't just glance through, but study, 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 until you start understanding Yahweh's message to you from this article. So keep that in mind, that very first part there, in setting your mind to study, to truly study, to show yourself approved, because we are much, much, much closer now to our time of sentencing, because judgment, we came here, we're learning at the house of Yahweh, we're being taught, we're baptized, we're working, we're overcoming. This is our judgment right now. We're being judged. We're taught, and we're given space to repent. We're given space to apply the lessons that Yahweh has given us in our lives, to practice them on a daily basis. There should be no time in any of our lives where we let our guard down. Oh, I let my guard down. Well, no, Yahweh says be on guard. That's what Yahshua told the disciples, the apostles, when he asked about the coming of the end. He said, be on guard. Be on guard, not sometimes, but all the time. Be on guard and let no man deceive you. Because if you study and you're on guard, then you're going to believe all the prophets have spoken, as testified and foretold to us by the witness Israel Hawkins, and you won't be deceived. This is our hope in the world that is full of darkness, full of deception. And Satan is using every tactic she has, and her energy is growing much, much stronger against Yahweh, against the world, against the people, as she knows that her time draws near, where she'll be shut up for 1,000 years by the house of Yahweh. And we're gonna start to clean this earth up and show what real power is. Praise Yahweh. Let's look to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Just going to rehearse a little bit about the great prophets, the prophets, and the prophecies that they wrote concerning this last days, setting our minds to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, we see here that Yahweh gives the testimony of a lamp, the lampstands, and olive trees. In verse 2, he says, and he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl for oil on top of it with its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to the seven lamps. In verse 3, and there are two olive trees. Okay, one on both sides. Look at verse 11. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it? Verse 14, and he said to me, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the whole earth. Now in verse 5:11, he says, and what these men were going to do, because he saw these last two women and what they're going over to a different area. And he said to they're going to build the house of Yahweh in verse 11, chapter 5, according to the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws in the Babylonish land, which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time when the two witnesses are called out to their work as the established place, the habitation of the house of Yahweh, the established place. Let's look to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. As the established place of the house of Yahweh. And Yahweh did this in a certain way. He did this all in accordance with his law. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, we see here in the law, it says, one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. And notice this second part. Only by the mouths of two or three witnesses may the matter be established. And if you remember the history that Pastor revealed to us concerning this work and his brother Yaakov after he came back from Israel, and he spent 7 years over there bringing them the word of Yahweh. But what did they do? Just like their forefathers did, they rejected it. They rejected the message and they rejected the messenger. So he came back here and he set up in Odessa, but he never established that work there in Odessa. And he came down to Abilene with his brother, Yisrael, and they established the first house of Yahweh in the mobile sanctuary on the homestead. Now that's history right there that you can go back and read, but it's proof that the Yahweh's prophecies come to pass 100% exactly as he detailed them. Let's look over to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. This was Shaul talking, and this is just another testimony here of two or three witnesses. He says, in 13 verse 1, he says, this will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Every word will be established. And you can see here how Yahweh even has written things here a little and there a little in his holy scriptures. He never leaves it in just one spot. He had his prophets take different pieces, well, not that they took different pieces, but Yahweh gave them different pieces, and they wrote in different areas of time, and they wrote in different phases of the plan of Yahweh, but they wrote about this same plan. All the puzzle pieces that they brought forth all fit together for one person to put them together for us to show us the big picture in these last days. Now, Pastor is able to reveal these things to us, but one of the key things that we have that the other works didn't have at that time period is a high priest that is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, who Yahweh gave power, praise Yahweh, who overcame all to sit at the right hand of Yahweh and to open up the seals to reveal the meanings so that this last day's work can do great things, greater than the great work that the prophet Moshe did in bringing the multitudes out of Egypt, 3 million or so people. We're going to bring billions of people out of the world, but we're going to have the power to do so. Now, it's not going to be with bombs. It's not going to be with carnivals or anything like you see coming forth from the Catholic Church to cloud the people's mind into gaiety and foolishness and drunkenness. They eat, they drink, they rise to play. It's going to be through the simplicity of the teaching of the laws of Yahweh, people understanding and receiving the value and the benefit from keeping those laws of Yahweh, and the desire that's coming forth from Spirit Holy within them building to want more. And you're going to be there to teach them and give them as much as they need. The water, it'll be like the jar from the widow who, you know, she filled all these jars and then she had all this oil. It's going to be like that well that never runs dry. You know, you'll never thirst ever again. And this is the house of Yahweh and what we're going to be. We're going to be that burning bush which never goes out. But you have to keep that fire burning within you. I want to encourage you, you know, as the time goes on, and I know everybody goes through tests. We all go through trials. Yahweh says we're going to, right? I mean, we're not striving for a job at the corner store, okay? We're not looking for a job that we're going to do for 15 years, get our pension, our 401k, and then sit back and retire and do nothing. No, we're pushing, we're qualifying for an eternal position in a place in Yahweh's kingdom of which we'll never get tired of it. We'll never cease to want to do our jobs. You know, when we have our space off, when we're when we have our, like, remember the history of the king showed that the priests, they worked three moons and they were off six moons or so forth. We're probably going to be saying, man, is there anything else I can do? I mean, you know, eternity is a long time. You got another place? You want me to build on a planet or a universe, a galaxy? I mean, anything, you know? I mean, we're going to be so desirous of this because the work is our reward. We'll never get bored of it. There will never be any boring people in the house of Yahweh. You know, boring, boring. The only thing we're going to be doing is boring knowledge into the minds of the people that Yahweh sends us to. All right? So, but just keep these things in mind. I'm going to try to move forward here. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Just establishing in your mind concerning the two witnesses and the work that Yahweh foretold concerning what they would do and the message that they would preach, which is this last day's final warning message to the world before the end comes, the darkening of the sun. Look at, what do I say, Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 10. He says, "Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' You are not showing wisdom by asking such a question." Now, why did I bring this up? Because here we are in the last day's work of Yahweh. You know, and I've heard this said before, you know, in times, man, why can't it be like, you know, a couple years ago? Well, because a couple years ago, we were still in sin. A couple years ago, we were pretty stupid. You know, but now Yahweh's bringing us to the knowledge of the truth, or he has been continuously, but he's brought us closer, or bringing us closer to him. So we are becoming this sweet smelling aroma to Yahweh, this sacrifice that is pleasing to Yahweh, this living sacrifice, praise Yahweh, that will be we will be presented one day before Yahweh. But he says, "You're not showing wisdom by asking such a question." Look up in verse 8. He says, "The end of something is better than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Well, the end of Yahweh's plan, the end of Yahweh's work in bringing forth these seven eras in this 6,000-year history of mankind, 7,000-year plan of Yahweh, when you add that 1,000-year of millennial reign, is going to be better than when Yahweh first started it off, because it's going to be bringing in the close to this great priestly family that Yahweh prophesied of and foretold of in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that he's going to make mankind in his image and likeness, and then he's going to turn all these things over to mankind to govern them, just like Yahweh does, taking them out of the hands of the Malachim, who misuse the power, they abuse the authority, they tuck the kingdoms of the dust of the earth and of the firmament, and they manipulated them to bring about things that fulfilled their own lusts, and it brought their strength down, just like we see the strength of mankind being brought down on earth right now. But the end, we are in the end, and the end of this work, the end of this plan is going to be better than the beginning. The last shall be first. Remember, the last. Now, as we move forward here, because I'm doing just the opposite I want to do, I'm running my mouth, and I want to speak something to our young people here, our young, who's young, right? You know, everybody's young, but our young people here, you know, I want you to keep your minds focused on the goal that Yahweh has set before you, because you have a great opportunity. We all do, but you have a great opportunity to actually achieve great heights in the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh's not concerned with what your family background is. He's not concerned with how tall you are or how short you are. He's not concerned with how well you speak English or anything else. He's concerned with your righteousness only. And praise Yahweh. He's concerned with what you take to heart, take to mind, like the great prophet Samuel did, and Pastor goes back to him. He's a great example to us of a child who was given over to the priest of Yahweh and trained strictly in the laws of Yahweh. And you see the humbleness, the humility in that young man to serve his teachers and to become like Yahweh. Now, remember, at that time, the name of Yahweh wasn't being spoken. It wasn't being talked about very much at that time. And so Samuel, he made this connection with Yahweh, and he came to a point where Yahweh used him. He used him to anoint kings and to remove kings. In fact, Saul, the great king Saul, lost his position because he rejected the voice of Yahweh's anointed one. But I want to read you a little article here. It says, "World population breaking news from UN Population Division. Now, this is from about a year ago, May 4th, 2011. It says, world population continues to grow, but the number of children in the world has now reached its peak. In 1960, we were 1 billion children below 15 years of age, and we were 35% of the world's population. Now there are 1.9 billion children in the world, but they are about 27% of the world's population. Now, I don't know exactly how all of this is going to work out. We know prophecy shows that there are going to be about 2 billion people that will come out of this great tribulation. I don't know the percentage of adults to children, people over 15, the people below 15 or above 18 or however it is. I don't know. But I know that a great majority of these, still speaking to the young people, are going to be your peers. And they're going to be looking to you and the example that you set for a new goal. Because in the world, all people are taught is instant gratification, self-gratification, retaliation, war, vengeance, fulfill your lust, and so forth. We're going to teach them the things that you will teach them. Yes, we all as a team, but you will teach them if you will take these laws to heart. You know, pay attention to your teachers, pay attention to your parents, and take these laws to heart and learn all that you can learn. And you can be teachers teaching 100,000 people your age, your peers. You can be standing there guiding them in the laws of Yahweh if you don't let anything cloud your mind with foolishness and drunkenness, playing games, you know, running around, not doing anything. Set your mind on the goal that Yahweh has set before you, because age is nothing. Yahweh doesn't look at age. Praise Yahweh. He set up kings at 8 years of age to rule a nation. Now, he was guided by the priests. He still had to listen to the authority that Yahweh set up for him. And when he was ready, he took that position. But he had it right there. Now, you need to be ready to stand up for righteousness and in righteousness to all mankind. And one of the things that that I want you to keep in mind, I'll just give you the scriptures in Yael 28:2 and Isaiah 44:2-3, which talks about the pouring out of all, Yahweh pouring out his spirit upon all flesh and so forth. But one of the things I want you to keep in mind, or I'll kind of share with you, when I came to the house of Yahweh many, many, many moons ago, you know, I didn't come here searching for salvation. You know, as many of the young people that I grew up with in Yahweh's house, we didn't come looking for it. We came with our parents in most cases. But I can tell you one of the greatest things that I valued in the house of Yahweh was true righteous friendship. And I didn't really know or understand what true friendship was until I came here. I met a couple of people that we were from two different worlds when I met them. But I met a couple of people who I got to know really well in Yahweh's house. And throughout the years in between the feast, you know, we look forward to coming to the feast and meeting with one another and gathering and so forth. We would write each other. For those of you who don't know what that is, I know we're in a generation of technology here, but we actually took pencils and papers and wrote things out and stuck them in the mail, you know, back when a stamp was 19 cents, you know. I don't know what it is now, about $3 or $4, I'm not sure, but we wrote each other. But we didn't write each other about foolishness, you know, did you see the latest movie or did you get the latest pair of tennis shoes? No, we wrote each other and we encouraged each other with the laws of Yahweh. We asked each other scriptural questions. We quizzed each other on the things we heard on the Sabbath services. And I'm telling you, that was really a great build up and encouragement for me, at least it was for me, because I had people within my same age group, peers, who were pushing toward this same positive goal that I initially didn't have. But when I seen them and what they were pushing for, yes, it was a positive influence to me, and I wanted to conform to positive conformity. I wanted to be a part of this great kingdom that they had saw and they was desiring, and now they, along with many other men, are priests in Yahweh's great house. So we see the accomplishments that can come with one another if we build up this great house together in the great love of Yahweh. And I had one of the letters here. I was looking for it so desperately to try to find it so I could read it to you. But these are the things that, in looking for friends, you know, especially on the Sabbath day, we should be speaking about things that build one another up. Speak about the sermon. Speak about the classes. Praise Yahweh. Don't try to make this Sabbath truly a delight by not allowing ourselves to get off and goofiness and talking about, you know, things that go on during the week and things that take place in the world. I mean, as far as entertainment and things like, we shouldn't have any entertainment in our lives anyway. But try to build one another up in the laws of Yahweh. And I'm telling you, you will have friendships, brethren, that will be so rock solid, not even a nuclear bomb could you shake it apart. Praise Yahweh. I want to get to my last part of my message here and sticking our heads in the clouds and dealing with the firmament. I've been really trying to understand the things that Pastor has been teaching us concerning the firmament. And of course, you know, you can't find these things really in the world until they hear the house of Yahweh, then they start researching them, and then they start bringing them out. But just to, let's see here, I think I got my papers here. Is this working? There we go. Okay. So just to kind of quickly give you a little rundown here, our firmament is made up of about five layers, if you consider the exosphere, which is the layer that's outside of that thermosphere here. It's made up of about five layers. And we know that, as Pastor has taught us, the firmament is made up of microorganisms. It's bacteria. It's living organisms that are breeding and cleaning up the firmament so that we can have life. It's communicating, like a brain, he said, it's communicating with the earth and taking so much from the earth and so much from the sun and so much from, you know, all these other different planets that Pastor said everything had to be created for the sustaining of life here on earth, and allowing so much to come through depending on the needs of the creation here on earth, and so much to be released into the space and so forth. But it's made up of these five layers here, all right? Above the mesosphere, or the mesosphere, is the ionosphere, which is actually in this area here of the thermosphere and the magnetosphere. It extends about 430 miles, and it is so thin, it's generally considered part of outer space. The International Space Station, I don't know how many of you have been there, and many satellites orbit within the ionosphere. Now, the ionosphere is named for the ions created within this layer by energetic particles from sunlight and outer space. These ions create an electrical layer that reflects radio waves, allowing radio messages to be sent across the oceans in the days before communication satellites. Ham radios and things like that were really popular. In fact, they still are. Let's move here forth. This is where you also see the southern lights and so forth. It says, beyond the ionosphere lies the exosphere. The tenuous portion of the Earth's atmosphere extends outward until it interacts with the solar wind. Now, I want you to keep that in mind about the solar wind. The solar wind. So don't think you're going to get out in the universe and not have to use your hairspray, man. You're still going to have to keep that thing in place. Well, I won't, but you will. Now, solar storms compress the exosphere. When the sun is tranquil, this layer extends further outward. So when there's less activity on the sun, this exosphere extends further out in the space. Remember, Pastor says it goes and it keeps going, but it diminishes a little bit. Its top range is from 620 miles to 6,214 miles above the surface, where it merges with interplanetary space. Now, on the sun, it says four layers of the sun's firmament. There's the photosphere, the chromosphere, the corona, which is visible during a total eclipse when the moon is completely in front of the sun, and you see that ring of fire that's around the sun, and the heliosphere. The uppermost part of the sun's atmosphere is the heliosphere, and this is the bubble of space filled with the solar wind that extends about 120 astronomical units. Now, this is, of course, farther than the distance from here to Abilene. An astronomical unit is approximately one distance from the Earth to the sun, okay? So it's 120 astronomical units out. Eventually, or what is in this space of the heliosphere is the solar winds. Now remember, the Earth's atmosphere extends up to where it interacts with the solar winds, right? It eventually is slowed and stopped by interstellar medium, which that interstellar medium is the material that exists between stars, which is in our own galaxy and is concentrated strongly in the galactic disk. Let me finish here. It says the heliopause is the theoretical boundary where the solar winds is stopped by the interstellar medium, where the solar wind strength is no longer great enough to push back the stellar winds of the surrounding stars, because they say that the sun is moving. Our galaxy is continually, it's moving, it's growing, it's spinning, and it's like a teardrop. There's a pressure of the sun's firmament in front of it. The direction that it's moving, it's smaller than the extension of the sun's firmament behind it, kind of like when you see a tail of a comet, all right? He says the boundaries of the heliosphere is where the pressure of the outer part of the heliosphere equals that of the surrounding interstellar medium. Okay, I didn't mean to get into all that. But I wanted to point out to you the fact that the sun, the sun's firmament, the heliosphere, and the solar winds that are in that is interacting with the Earth's firmament. Now, we know that, right? But remember, the sun's firmament extends 120 astronomical units. Now, if you think about wind and how it works, at least here like on Earth, it never just stays in one place. Now, as far as mankind knows, of course, there's this 2003 UB, I don't know what that is, but Pluto and Charon is the furthest planet in our solar system. Pluto is approximately 39.5 astronomical units away out of 120, so it still extends another 80 astronomical units. Well, think about this now as the sins of mankind is reaching up into the Earth. Let me read this one last part here. This is from the globalchristiancenter.com. It says, on life on Mars, it is an object and is an observed scientific fact that microorganisms from Earth waft up on solar currents. On wind currents. These have been found in the Earth's upper atmosphere where they get carried into space by solar winds emanating from the sun. Since solar winds push things away from the sun, and since Mars is further away from the sun than the Earth, the theory goes that many of the microbes from Earth also pass within the range of Mars' gravitational pull where they have been brought down onto the surface of the red planet. So the reason being is because I saw an article in regards to solar flares. The question was asked on the forums, is it possible that what takes place here on Earth affects our sun? And of course, you'd be, no, the Earth is much too far for something like that to take place. But we see here that the Earth, the sun, and all the planets and the microorganisms are all communicating with each other, and they interact and they play a part with each other. So what takes place on one planet can, yes, most definitely affect other planets, including our sun. So these are the things that the knowledge that Yahweh has given us in these last days, and these are the things that we have to guard and set our minds towards seeking this kingdom, because it is through the kingdom of Yahweh that we're going to restore everything back to its perfect position, and mankind will learn war no more, and they're going to experience this great peace, this great love, and this great joy that Yahweh has for all mankind. So praise Yahweh. If you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Gon Sefanya.
Shalom, everyone. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We're trying to get caught up on some of the world news from the last few videos, and we have several weeks of prophecies being fulfilled: drought, war, violence, disease, famine, and we've got to kind of in a compact format to kind of show the urgency of now. And one of the things they're going to cover, which is kind of funny in a way, they had they're not going to cover this part of it, but it's the West Nile virus, and I saw online where the state of Texas wants people to know not to call 911 every time they get bit by a mosquito. But that's how fearful people are becoming about these things. But it's going to get worse. So anyway, this is really just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on. It's almost hard to find some of this news, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawken!
Shalom, everyone! How come so many today? Here we go. Come on. Hey, Yahweh. You may be seated. What a beautiful day, beautiful people, finishing the Yahweh's work. That sermon by my son Tobia this morning, I thought that was neat, the way he tied that in with this computer. The things with that, I think we ought to play, get him to do it again next week, but the things you need to remember there is the fact that Yahweh said, in the end, I'm going to increase knowledge. And of course, that's the way he did it. He inspired them to build a computer as a test to Christianity. Germany had it too. They were Christian too. The fact was we accidentally knocked theirs out with a bomb. A bomb accidentally hit it and knocked it out, or they would have had the nuclear bomb because they had the computer. But all of this is done by Christianity as a test to Christianity to prove Satan is full of baloney. Her way is never going to bring peace. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Here's where you find peace. This morning I was woke up by singing out in the parking lot, and I looked out and the man was running back and forth. Never missed a beat. Beautiful. I think we got that on tape too, by the way, if you want it. We also got another real treat today. It'll be on your tables at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. I forget the scripture where Yochanan was eating these, that and wild honey. That'll be waiting for you now at 6 p.m. Enjoy. I got some too. I'm going to eat, Yahweh willing. on the news here, I know it was fast, and we may play it again for you next week, but it kind of zipped through, but it kind of shows you, jumping from nation to nation here, the troubles that Babylon is falling. It's going down. It's being proved, like the increase in knowledge. It proved that what they're going to do with the increase in knowledge. Let's turn over to Revelations 18. The reason that Satan wants to destroy the microorganisms, the firmament, the earth, she knows that's how Yahweh creates things. And of course, they won't obey her. She had the power of creation at one time and lost it. I do believe that Yahweh put within these kingdoms, the law that blocks anyone who sins. I believe that blocks their authority, and it's done automatically. He set it up to where they're bound, and they cannot take orders from sinners. And of course, when she turned to sin, she lost that ability to create and maintain life, as is shown in the scriptures. But here in Revelations, we see here the Babylon and its falling, and the news, of course, is showing it every day. The shootings, killings, the rapes, even in our armed forces, the suicides. I don't know if we showed that or not. They showed I forget the number now. It's a huge number of suicides, more than lost in war, killing themselves. And it's going on all over the America, right here in Abilene too, among the Christians. In chapter 18, of course, we see 17 and 18, we see the mother of Christianity, the Pope, and of course the Pope was one of the inquisitions that one time was against Christianity because they wanted people to be able to own Bibles. That is, their leader did. And this is the reason that the Pope, I forget his name, I think it was Benedict, I know it was Benedict, but I'm not sure what number, 12, I believe, but he came against the Protestants because they were pushing to the people to own a Bible. If you start thinking, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that King James Version Bible. And the prophecy actually shows when this thing would be given again to mankind, because it was taken away from mankind. I can hardly wait to get into that and bring this to light. It's a beautiful prophecy, and of course it's been fulfilled, and that's the reason that the house of Yahweh was established in these last days, because of a little boy with a Bible. Little Oaky boy with a Bible that he loved. In Revelations 18, it says, after these things I saw, well, he shows the Catholic Church here, sits on seven hills, and the abomination she brings forth in verse 5, what she's always brought forth from her resisting the laws and doing away with the laws. And then we see that he says, after these things I saw another Moloch come down from heaven, that is, orders came down from heaven. I would that we could get all these mistranslations corrected. It wasn't like a being came down from heaven and started bringing this message. It was orders, inspiration came from heaven, as was prophesied to be done, and as the prophets spoke under inspiration, so in these last days the work would be brought forward again. And of course, this message coming down from heaven, giving authority to someone on earth to enlighten the earth with this message. Well, while Daniel 12 is being fulfilled, and he said, in the last days, we're going to increase the knowledge, and you will have great tribulation as a result of it. The greatest tribulation ever, because we're increasing your knowledge to where you can build gigantic weapons of mass destruction, and we will see what you do with it. Well, of course, it's plain to see what Christianity did with the computer, and the reason it was built, as we saw in the documentary that was played before, and then the scriptures that was given afterwards. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons. Well, of course, that's what you want to seek for salvation, surely, you know. And it sits on seven hills of Rome, as he just showed in the previous chapter here. And it's falling. It's going down every day, getting worse. And that never, not anything getting better at all. The confusion is increasing. The hatred, as Yahshua said in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the hatred is also going to abound. And that's what we see. Someone said that they started a fight in a parking lot. Now, I didn't see this. I don't think we had that news. But two people started shooting at each other in a parking lot over a parking space. And then others got involved in it, and there was about 14 people pulled out guns and all started shooting. It's kind of crazy and scary to even be out there. And verse 3 says, all nations now, and excluding none, have drank of this wine, of this wrath of her fornication. It comes forth from the fornication, the confusing of the mind, breaking Yahweh's laws against illegal lust, and confusing the minds to where anyone can go off of the deep end at any time. The retaliation, if you notice, is so instant now. I mean, there's no thinking, no considering. What am I going to do you know, in this situation. Pull a gun and shoot him. That's what's going on here. Hasn't been long till they convicted an innocent man named North here in town because he and another got in a gunfight in front of one of our Christian colleges, right at one of the Christian colleges, in fact. And now he's in prison, an innocent man in prison. Who should they have sent to prison? You know, the Pope is responsible for this whole thing, the popes. And if you'll get in mind, Yahweh calls them in history, in Scripture, the heads, the heads of the dragon. Well, the merchants, we'll get into that later. The merchants of the earth have grown rich through their abundance of her delicacies, which she brings forth in the trading to bring money in to own the world. And verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Well, of course, Yahweh created a work with a King James Version Bible. In fact, he actually created a work, brought up a work in these last days to bring, make it possible to come out of her, my people. It's never been possible before. It hasn't been possible for over 2,000 years now to come out of her. But he says, come out of her, my people, so that you do not receive her plagues, for her sins have reached into the heavens. Into the heavens, that is, into the firmament, as I showed you last week. They've reached into the firmaments. Of course, this is what is causing the global warming. They got their minds blocked right now on gas. It's almost funny. I keep thinking of the gassy gods, you know, that they say Yahweh, you know, where it shows what Yahweh looks like. He doesn't really look like that. He has no form, they say. The commentators say this. I know it says that, but he really doesn't have any form. He's just gas, a bunch of gas up there. Well, I guess this is the greenhouse gas that they're talking about that's got the everything blocked off. They're so confused they don't even know what they're doing right now. But they say the greenhouse gas is building up and it's blocking. It's blocking the rain from falling, blocking the sun, and causing heat inside like an oven, inside the firmament. If they would think just the other way, the firmament was built to take care of itself, to cleanse itself with the kingdoms of microorganisms that fill the firmament. It's totally filled with transparent kingdoms. Now, they know this much. Now, but those kingdoms are getting sick from, and we can prove this now, totally from scientific tests. The kingdoms are getting sick. The microorganisms are getting sick. We showed you last week how they breed, how they attack the microorganisms, how they breed them, and of course reproduce. AIDS can actually reproduce itself. It's a mutation. They're mutations, but a sick kingdom can't do much, you know. And of course, this is what's taking place. And the more kingdoms that become sick with this, that are attacked and mutated and raped, the less rain you're going to get. And when you get it, it's going to be a flood because it won't be fixed in droplets like the bacteria do, supposed to do, and it'll come down in blankets like we've seen in the last few days, the last few weeks. Come down in 12 inches in about an hour, and of course in one place flooding everything it is dropped on. That rain would not produce food. It would wash away food. But this is what's taking place. The gas would go away if the kingdom gets to where it can reproduce and fill the heaven again like it's supposed to. But it's falling because of this. And I want you to remember this, because as we go deeper into this subject, the hardest subject I've ever taught, you will see this by leaps and bounds what I'm talking about here. Now, the lies Another prophecy that's being fulfilled, of course, is the lies and the persecution is still going on against this work that is enlightening the world. And, of course, Daniel saw this at the same time knowledge would be increased. He saw it in the same chapter. And he said, but it's not going to be told now until the last days when the knowledge is increased and man brings forth Christianity. Christianity is proven to bring forth the nuclear bombs of mass destruction. That's all shown there in Daniel 12. Under the leadership of Satan, in Yochanan, if you like lies, turn over to chapter 8, because the Savior told you what is going to take place with the same people that actually fall away from Yahweh's house. The Savior says here in Yochanan 8, he says in verse 44, he says, you are of your teacher, who is Satan, the devil. Well, we've shown that again. We'll read it in Revelation. And whatsoever she who is your teacher desires, you will do. Well, she's doing it by leaps and bounds, one lie after another, working full time. Satan is working full time with people to bring forth lies, hoping to pull you out of Yahweh's work of enlightenment, the only place on the face of the earth that's enlightening the world with this great message of Yahweh, and she's trying to pull you out to stop this work from taking place. But he says she was a murderer from the beginning and remained not in the truth because there is no truth in her. That's the reason they can't tell the truth. If they tell the truth, it'd make them look bad. So they're telling lies, one lie after another, and publishing it as widely as they possibly can. I don't think I'd want to get near that mess, but everyone has his own choice, of course. She is a liar. The last line in verse 44, she is a liar and the teacher of lies. Well, where is this coming from? Look on over to, well, no, look on down to yet because I tell you the truth, verse 45, you do not believe. Which of you convicts me of sin? So if I speak the truth, why do you not believe? He who is of Yahweh hears Yahweh's words. Now you do not hear because you're not of Yahweh. Well, you know that none of them, this would be turning over to Revelation 12. Those who follow these lies are not of Yahweh. You can rest assured, as the Savior says, they're not of Yahweh. In Revelation 12, you see verse 17, he tells you what is taking place right now. And wouldn't you know, it's with the same increase in knowledge that she uses to bring forth her lies. Same increase in knowledge that brought forth the nuclear bomb. Christianity cannot use this knowledge for anything but evil. And she's taken the same knowledge that was increased here and trying to pull people out of Yahweh's house or keep them from coming to Yahweh's house. Now this, the scripture is filled with warnings against this. If they speak not according to the law and the prophecies, Isaiah said, it's because there's no light in them. If there's no light, it's full of lies, full of darkness. No light in them. Well, here in Revelation 12:17, we see the leader, the one that Yeshua just said. She's filled with lies. She doesn't know how to speak the truth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. That's us. That's the people that Yahweh used, bringing forth the Holy Scriptures in the form of a King James Version that brought all this back. And then come to build a house, bring up a house to bring forth the truth. Two witnesses who they spend all kinds of time to make out like those two witnesses are nothing but liars when they themselves are the ones that's doing the lying. And they're even getting into arguments among themselves. And one says, hey, you lied. You shouldn't have said something like that. Well, the whole bunch of them is lying. They are of Satan the devil, and they're doing what Satan the devil wants them to do, inspiring them to do. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with those who forsook her seed, who keep the laws of Yahweh, her seed being those who keep the laws of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. We do have that testimony. In fact, Yahweh told Yahshua Messiah, behold, this work. Take note of this work. Carry it out. Well, of course, back to the firmament now. We ended last week with, I believe it was Matithya. Matithya 23, where Yahshua actually spoke to the wind. That was Matithya 8, 23 through 27, where Yahshua actually spoke to the wind. And this is where we find out, this and other places, that the wind can hear and the wind can obey. In Eob's day, Satan could bring forth storms. Now, and she did this. Well, how did she do it? I would say she made a bunch of microorganisms sick at that time to bring forth these storms like took place. Because the wind no longer obeys her, none of the microorganisms obey Satan anymore. Otherwise, she would have the power to create. That's how Yahweh puts you together in one day, how he built the earth in one day. He merely commanded it. And that's what we read last week. We saw this in Genesis 1:26. This is his authority that he wants to give to man. Psalms 104, verse 30. If you didn't get that, you need to read it. His spirit, which is the laws that he lays down. And then Yochanan 6:23. And then Hebrews 11. Let's read that again. Hebrews 11, that is such an important scripture, and the prophet, the apostle here, says it perfectly, showing what Yahweh does with microorganisms. In Hebrews 11, and verse 3. Let's go back to verse 1. Now the faith, that's the whole system, the whole plan of salvation for mankind. The faith that is given, and by this faith, it's not by belief or by by pumping your arms together and working up faith. You know, maybe if I do this enough, I will have faith to be healed. You know, or maybe if I just concentrate hard enough. No, it's work. I guarantee you it's work, but it's work in overcoming. But now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that sets the stage to understand what he means in verse 3. But verse 2, for by it men of old obtained a righteous report. By this knowledge, this light that Yahweh brought forth through the ones that he sent. Now in verse 3, through this same faith now, we understand the worlds were formed. By this faith he gives us, this book of Yahweh, we understand that the worlds were formed by the command of Yahweh. By the command, the word. The command of Yahweh, and the worlds were formed in one day. Well, of course, science don't understand this because they don't understand yet how Yahweh can command the wind or the microorganisms to do certain things. And of course, he set this in bounds for them. They can't make the sea hotter or colder or so forth. They keep it from getting hotter or colder when they're well, when they're not sick. And I don't know what the prophecies now we're finding. There's a bunch of them that show that the microorganisms in the firmament and in the earth, they need peace. And this is what the prophets say. They need peace in order to operate. The great Kohan Yeshua, great Kohan David Verner Hawkins, he put in a lot of hours last week, but he is uncovering these things one by one in scriptures that the world don't even know exist and don't know how to explain them. And they even add verses saying, well, maybe it's this. They take words out, change the words, because they don't believe what's actually written there. They don't understand it, so about the microorganisms. They don't understand the firmament, what it's made out of, or how Yahweh can use it and actually command it to do a certain thing, and it does it. Well, here he says, so that the things which were not in evidence are now seen coming to pass. And of course, we see this right now. We see in the last days, as Daniel said, we see this knowledge increase. We see computers built to guide bombs to perfection. We could send a missile without even a man on it. We can just push a button and the computer, and we can set the mark we want it to hit, and the computer guides it to that mark and put it right inside a window if they want to. It's that accurate with the computers, the increase in knowledge. Increase in knowledge. Well, with a computer, you can store a great deal of knowledge. And that knowledge, that increase in knowledge, Christianity proves she's nothing but a bunch of murderers. Just like the popes before her who were killing to get this word away from the people. And they did it. They did it for almost 2,000 years. And the apostles, if you think they loved the apostles, they killed the apostle Kepha, who they claimed to represent. They hung him upside down because he requested it. I don't deserve to be killed. He said, like the Savior, so hang me upside down. And through their loving mercy, they did. Upside down. Let's turn over to Matthew 17. But here's they don't believe this either. But the Savior, here's the power that this man had because he had received the authority that was promised to the sons of men. I'll make man in my image after my likeness, and I will give him authority. Authority? What would you think if you were standing on the side of a lake and you could tell a fish with words, go get a coin down there on the bottom of that lake and bring it here to me and get on my hook. I'll have the hook waiting for you. I know you'd think he is crazy. And of course, that's what the Christianity thinks today. That's the reason that they don't believe anything in the Holy Scripture. Nothing. If they did, they'd be following the laws of Yahweh. Yes. Instead of building weapons of mass destruction to murder men, women, and children. In Matthew 17, and notice verse 27, talking about taxes and paying your taxes. And Yeshua said to Kepha, Kepha answered and said to him, from strangers, Yeshua said to him, then the children are free. However, so that we may not offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. Gets on that hook. When you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money equal to one full shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and you to pay the taxes. Now that's the power that Yeshua had. That's the authority that he said in Yochanan 5, all authority in heaven and earth is now given unto me. Now, the scientists know how the bacteria talk to each other. We just saw a film on that last week. So we know that they know that the bacteria can actually communicate with each other. The scriptures show they can also hear and they take instruction from the one who has this authority that's given in Genesis 1:26. Yeshua was given this authority. Authority from Yahweh to where he will be honored by the kingdoms, the microorganism kingdoms, who fill the earth, who creep in the earth, and fill the firmament that is above the earth. How does the HIV attack our bodies? Well, we saw that last week in the film, and I hope you remember it. How they attack the bacteria, how they attack it, how they rape it, how they mutate it. Once they rape it, a mutation comes from this bacteria, whatever the bacteria is. If it's AIDS in the bacteria, you will have a half this and a half that. Whatever the bacteria is, it's different. And they're creating trillions after trillions of these. They multiply rapidly. Well, of course, bacteria multiplies rapidly. But given time and increase of this, time and increase, you see what has taken place today with our firmament getting sick and unable to operate like Yahweh, be turning over to Psalms 104, operate like it's supposed to operate. And you know that they know, science knows, that bacteria actually forms raindrops, so it will drop on the earth. They form throughout the firmament. But when they start getting sick in one area, we see them getting sick in one area, then we see drought. Or we see drenching rains that comes down in sheets of floods. The scripture spoke of this. Here in Psalms 104, we see a word that you've got to become familiar with. Psalms 104, notice verse 26. Psalms 104, verse 26. There the ship sailed about, and you formed the Leviathan to play there. Well, of course, the commentators, they translate this dragons and serpents and so forth, and then... And then they remove words so it won't say what it's supposed to say. The Leviathan, Leviathan, comes from a Hebrew word that means organisms in mourning. Now, you won't get that from the dictionaries, but you'll get it from the scriptures if you pay close attention to what I'm saying. This word here. It's not a dragon, it's not a whale, it's not a shark, it's microorganisms. But they're in mourning. They're in mourning. They mourn, and they're fading away. That's what's taking place in the firmament. That's what this word actually means. It means organisms in mourning. Let's go over to Isaiah now with that in mind. Isaiah 24, because we see the time here when knowledge is increased. We have powerful telescopes now. We have even better than that. We have computerized microscopes that can actually magnify and correct pictures 400,000 times bigger. Where they can actually see these microorganisms, and they still haven't found all of them. Not yet. But they're trying. Isaiah 24, we see here in the last days that Yahweh is going to allow the earth to be emptied. Over in verse 18, he says the foundations of the earth are going to be shaken. Verse 20 says the earth is going to reel to and fro. Now, Daniel spoke of this time period in Daniel 12 and said knowledge will be increased in this time period. And you're going to see this great tribulation. The Savior said, when you see the things spoken of in Daniel, you better get to the holy place. And of course, the Savior spoke of Daniel, the time increasing, the knowledge increasing, and great tribulation that has never before taken place and never will be after that. No, he will take the ones that choose his righteousness. He will give them authority, and with that authority, they're going to restore the earth to its origin. They will restore life to eternal life, where man will never die again. They will restore the universe back to its origin, stop the wars that Yahweh shows is going on in the universe at this time. All of this is going to be done by you. Praise Yahweh. With the very tiniest creatures that Yahweh formed, that no one would ever think that he uses that and has great power because they obey his voice and will yours one day. But he says, and it will be as with the people, so with the Catholic Church and all the Christianities and the maids and mistresses that work with them. The land, verse 3, the land will be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourns. Well, this is what this Leviathan, it means. It means microorganisms and mourning. The earth mourns and it fades away. Actually, we see some other words here. And let me see if I got that correction. The word, let's see, 24, the earth mourns the earth. In this clause, the earth mourns and fades away. Isaiah 24:4 is translated from the Hebrew word aratz. This word is listed on page 153 of the Hebrew and Chaldees lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, and it actually means the universe. The universe. Well, the universe is made up, of course, microorganisms, kingdoms of microorganisms, other beings too, but they are there moving together and making planets and so forth. Whatever Yahweh tells them to form, that's what they form. The word people means the inhabitants of the earth, and the word languish means to be sick. It means to be sick. The universe mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. All of them getting sick. The microorganisms in the body is getting sick and dying. And of course, by this, you are dying. Your body is dying. And the dwellers of the firmament, is actually there in that verse. And the inhabitants of the earth have become sick and need peace. Now, this right here comes from the experts who say these Hebrew words, just like Webster's Dictionary with the English, these men are authorities in the Hebrew, and they say these words are actually there and should have been translated in this manner. Well, of course, they don't. The translators didn't understand, so they changed it. So Hebrews 4 shows the microorganisms are in mourning because, as verse 5 says, the earth is defiled. The earth, that also means universe there. The universe is defiled by the inhabitants of it because they've transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And here is the curse, verse 6. the curse, the plagues, as is shown in Revelations 18:4 and 5, where he says, "Come out from her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, so you do not suffer her plagues." Meaning, if you come out from her, my people, you will not partake of her sins and you won't suffer her plagues. That's what it means. Now, you should be willing to give Yahweh glory here and honor him by coming out of her and becoming separate and not partaking of sin. The ones that are running the house of Yahweh down is also filled with sin. They're living sin day after day. They're going to suffer the plagues of this world along with the rest of the world, even though they were given an opportunity at one time by Yahweh to come out of her. And they could still repent right now. Praise Yahweh. Well, here now, he says the organism, an organism is anything, any living thing. It's any living thing. No matter how small or how large, as we see this in Genesis 7. Genesis 7, it's actually shown here this early. Genesis 7. Now study this closely. Look at what I'm telling you so you will be able to teach others what I'm teaching you. Genesis 7, verse 21. You'd read right over this. You would read right over it if Yahweh didn't show you what I'm talking about here. Maybe you've read over it 1,000 times and didn't notice it. That's what people tell me. I've read that 1,000 times. How come I didn't see that? Well, you needed the 1 cent. Yahweh's got to put in his 2 cents worth. You know, the 2 witnesses worth. Remember that too. And if they speak not according to the law and the prophecies, they're full of lies. They're a liar like Satan. That's what you see out here today condemning the house of Yahweh. Verse 21, 7 verse 21, "And all flesh died that lived on the earth." That lived on the earth, birds, cattle, beast, and every creeping thing. Get that? Every creeping thing. Here's your microorganisms in the earth, should be in the earth instead of on the earth, and every man. Now he separates, notice, he separates man and every man. You see that? He separates man from the rest of it here. "All in whose nostrils the breath of the Spirit of life," that he commanded to have life, "all of these died. All that lived," now the King James Version here has it right, "all that lived in the earth." You see that? "All that lived in the earth, the dry." We added the word land, which you need to take out. The word land is added. "In the dry." That's it. "In the dry." Died. "All that lived in the dry died." In the dry, meaning out of the water. You get it? Fish don't die because it rains, because they have a flood. "All that lived in the dry died," which is everything, microorganisms, everything died. Everything except what Yahweh had in the water. Microorganisms, they stayed alive in the water, in the sea. "So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, and birds of the air." That creeping things, it always refers to microorganisms. Yes, it refers to bigger things too, but it refers to microorganisms. In the dry, That is, out of the water. The word here, abound, the creeping things. It's, if you wanted to look it up, it's number 8318. Now, it also means to swarm. Speaking of these creeping things, things that swarm, active mass. You know how the science describes and showed this in the film, how they actually mass together. And of course, like in this piece of iron you see here, they're massed together. This iron is alive. I guarantee you everything on earth is alive. And if it died, it would quickly disappear. But it's alive. Now, biology teaches this. Science knows this. But they swarm. It's an active mass of minute things. Minute. That means small. The smallest thing that we know of right now is the, I think I have a picture here. Did I show that last week? Magnified 2,000 times, I believe it was. World's smallest bug that they've discovered so far. Here it looks like a herd of buffalo, but it's actually the dust mite. The dust mite that comes in and cleans your sheets for you and your blankets, cleans your bed the next morning after you get out of it because you've left dead cells in your bed that fell off of your body overnight, and they come in to clean it up. And they mass together. They mass together, as the word here shows. The Hebrew word, minute creeping things that creep, creatures. Call them creatures. One guy called them critters. that move in the dry or in the earth. The root, the prime root, by implication swarm, they abound. They actually abound. They creep. They bring forth abundantly. They move. They breed abundantly. Increase abundantly. There's one more thing that I want to show you here before we end. I'm just a little bit over time here. But one more thing. The gravity. The study that science has proven, the study, bacteria thrives in 400,000 times Earth's gravity. Now, they did this with test tubes, of course, but they found out that microorganisms actually survive in 400,000 times Earth's gravity. Microbial life can grow in gravity more than 400,000 times that of Earth, according to a new study detailed in National Geographic. Biologists, the team that tested five species of bacteria by subjecting them to intense gravity conditions called hypergravity, the species continued to multiply despite this high gravity input that they were put into. Against physical extreme and temperatures, pressure and radiation is well known that they can survive in the test that they showed here. And this was printed. This came out in National Geographic's April 26, 2011. If you want to get that article, you may, and read it for yourself. Well, this is what Yahweh made, of course, and it can survive. but it also gets sick. And we've seen that sickness taking place due to the sins of man and the raping of these cells by different viruses that mankind himself has created. They know that it was made by man. They know that this global warming is made by man. Maybe now, after these tests and the information they're getting from the house of Yahweh, then finally maybe they will come to understand what is actually causing this and the reason that we cannot allow sin in our lives or into the new world, new kingdom that Yahweh is creating and going to give to us. Genesis 1:26. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!